listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm just going to ask the question, don't shoot the messenger. One of the interceptions by Kenny Pickett was a tipped ball. One of the interceptions was on a Hail Mary in the end zone, or it was on a Hail Mary late in the game, anything to try to get some points on the board. And it was kind of a last ditch. But there was another interception in there that hurt the Steelers. And those three picks in the second half by Kenny Pickett certainly contributed to the Jets' rally from double figures down. The Jets come back from 20 to 10 down. So did Kenny Pickett urinate down his leg? I'm just asking. I don't know. I understand it provided great energy. There was a huge, huge roar out of the crowd, and Pickett brings life. He brings athleticism. He just got everybody fired up. And there's no way to not feel that, not notice that. Of course a team is lifted up and is buoyed by a crowd that's Mach 12. But three interceptions? Again, one of them on a tipped ball on his very first pass. The second one is the one that really hurt, because that led to a drive for the Jets that ultimately turned into the game winner and helped them to run out the clock for all intents and purposes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Steelers fans, what did you think of Kenny Pickett's debut? I actually got a bunch of people finding me on Twitter during the day. And if you're listening and you want to weigh in, you can find my Twitter now, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. We're asking you about the team that should feel the most mortified on this Monday. And there was a discussion here behind the scenes about whether or not the Steelers should be in that category. Now, we already had the Ravens. They're definitely worthy. And they're from the AFC North. And we probably could have put the Browns in there as well, actually, though they had a loss on the road. The entire division, it feels like, is sitting at 2-2, except for the Steelers, who are now at 1-3. So, yes, there was some discussion about putting them in our poll, but I got a feeling that most Steelers fans would sacrifice this game and this loss against the Jets, the Jets, mind you, so that they could see Kenny Pickett's debut. Now, what if Pickett's not ready? What if he can do some good things out there, but he's not ready to read defenses? He didn't take a lot of snaps at all with the first team in training camp, which is what we heard from our Steelers insider going back multiple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. So if he's not ready and you throw him out there and he continues to get picked off, that's not great for the rookie. So I don't know, Steelers fans, how are you processing the debut of Kenny Pickett, the lift initially with the energy for the offense, the fourth down conversion, the QB sneak? And I think the announcers noted that it was the first time that Mike Tomlin had tried a fourth down conversion all year. But the three interceptions leading to a game-winning drive by the Jets, the Jets on your field. This is not the Chiefs. This is the Jets. We heard Mike Tomlin on the loss, and if you missed it, his decision to pull Mitch Trubisky.
I'm not going to talk extended as we sit here. We did what we needed to do to put ourselves in position to win this game, and we'll do it again But I like to just keep it where we are in terms of what transpired here today. We'll deal with next week.
All right. Well, let's deal with this week then. What about your assessment of Kenny Pickett?
Thought he did some good things. I thought, you know, there was some energy there. We scored some touchdowns, but obviously we also turned the ball over.
A lot of emotions, but the only thing I'm thinking about is winning out there. So I was just kind of, staying in tune with the game and what we needed to do to come out with the win. And, that didn't happen. So it's something that I definitely need to learn from quickly and get it fixed for whenever my next opportunity may come.
Welcome to the NFL, rookie. That was Zach Wilson last year. There definitely is a learning curve. And he makes his season debut, not his NFL debut, but his season debut, goes 18 of 36. If you're doing the quick math, that's 50% completion rate, 252 yards. He catches a touchdown. He throws a touchdown, but he also has two interceptions. This was a bit of a turnover fest between the two young QBs, and actually throw Trubisky in there as well. 6 interceptions thrown in this game. I actually started the Steelers defense, but it didn't do me a whole lot of good ultimately. I'm going to have to make some changes on my fantasy team. Not that you care. So Robert Saleh has his Jets at 2-2 after this road win.
Tremendous resilience from the group because we were holding the lead, had a bad sequence there at the end of the first half, but they had some momentum bringing in the young kid. But to weather the storm and show the resilience to come back again on the road, awesome.
So I don't believe that we have Zach Wilson talking about how he has the best hands on the team, but he did stay relatively poised. I like what I've seen from Wilson in terms of his development over the course of last season and now this first game. Just he's obviously got to stay on the field. He's been on and off the field too often.
My mentality is just keep doing my job, keep chipping away and relaying that message. And everybody did. Everyone kept fighting. There was never a single time we were going out there that anyone was down or, there was frustration, but it was the right frustration.
So Zach Wilson, Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky. It was a smorgasbord of quarterbacks in Pittsburgh. But I am anxious to hear from you Steelers fans. Oh, you tell me, do we have the touchdown solo, the actual touchdown catch? If you can find it, you let me know, and then we can play the reaction from Zach Wilson, because it was a dynamic play call. It worked really well. Wilson was so wide open that Berrios didn't even have to be all that accurate, actually. And so the Jets beat the Steelers. Steelers fall to 1-3 and now last place in the AFC North. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So, Jay, you let me know when you're ready to go. Thumbs up from producer Jay on the other side of the double pane glass.
Second down and goal at the 2-yard line. Again, Elijah Vera Tucker is the left tackle today in this makeshift Jets offensive line. Berrios and Moore to the left. Solo right, Garrett Wilson. Zach Wilson takes the shotgun snap. Jet sweep. It's a reverse. It'll be a throw from Berrios to Zach Wilson for the touchdown. Razzle dazzle from the Jets. A reverse option pass. Berrios to Wilson. A Jet touchdown. And New York off to a 2-score lead.
Now open up the playbook. Zach Wilson is back. Misdirection. Braxton Berrios coming, looking like he's going to throw a reverse.
It's the Philly special.
I was going to say that.
Wide open.
Pretty cool, though.
What were you thinking as that one's coming to you, as that ball's coming in?
Yeah, I was like, first I handed and I see everyone flowing. I'm like, oh, thank goodness, I got the best hands on the team, so.
Oh, okay, pretty boy. We got you. I was going to say it was the Philly special, but Bob Wischusen does a better job at it. He's one of the best in the business. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, why don't we continue with this theme a little bit, talking about the AFC North. Remember, the Cincinnati Bengals have now won back-to-back games. They beat the Dolphins on Thursday. That game overshadowed by everything that happened with Tua Tagovailoa. And if you were paying any attention to NFL preview shows this weekend or even the halftime shows, maybe you're just listening to some of the broadcasts, it seems like Tua came up on every single broadcast. And I don't just mean the national ones, the local ones as well. And then you may have seen multiple quarterbacks, multiple players who were pulled from games and put into concussion protocol after hits, even if it didn't look like they were wobbly and even if they were seemingly okay to continue, because teams now are on high alert. I would not be surprised if the NFL put out a memo, a strongly worded memo. But right now, the NFLPA is in the midst of an investigation about Tua and how his health and how his head injury or back injury was handled in week three to allow him to get back on the field, even though he couldn't stand on his own, and then to turn around in week four. Now, I will say Mike McDaniel came out forcefully on Friday in the wake of Thursday Night Football. And he went through every single thing, every single step with Tua in between games. It was a short turnaround. He said not only is he in touch with Tua on a regular basis, they were talking high-level football. They were, you know, prepping for the game. He's convinced that Tua did not have a concussion going back to the previous week. And he passed every single concussion protocol. So I'm not telling you that the eye test doesn't matter. Only that it's not like Tua just got cleared on Sunday when he was wobbly against the Bills. According to Mike McDaniel, he was cleared every single day. Before he was allowed to play on Thursday, they kept running him through concussion testing and concussion protocols just to be sure that it wasn't a delayed concussion that was showing up. Remember, he was day-to-day until Thursday when he was cleared to go against the Bengals. But he went through concussion protocol every single day. Now, can the protocols be wrong? Sure. But if a guy gets cleared 4 days in a row, what do you say? Hey, no, we're just not going to let you play because we don't feel good about it. And Mike McDaniel said, I can't be making those decisions on my own. That puts me in front of the doctor, in front of medical technology. So that was his point, is that Tua was playing fine. He was processing and cognitively was very sharp leading into that game. And then, of course, had the head injury. And you remember we saw on Amazon Prime as his fingers seized up and it was a scary moment. Did end up flying home on the team plane. The reporter that we had with us on the show on Thursday night told us that he spoke to Tua and he was happy and jovial and ready to get home. So Mike McDaniel says he wouldn't change a thing. And that he would never put a player in danger, but the NFLPA is investigating. And so that was the Bengals' win, but it was overshadowed by Tua. So the Bengals 2-2. The Ravens 2-2. They're part of our Monday mortification poll after yet another three-score collapse. The Steelers at 1-3, despite the debut of stud muffin Kenny Pickett. Where does that leave us? That leaves us with the Cleveland Browns. It's the last team there in the AFC North to talk about. And Browns-Falcons were dueling in Atlanta.
Patterson in the backfield with Mariota. Here's CP. Cordero around the left edge. At the five, stiff arm, pushed out of bounds at the one. No touchdown. They award the touchdown for Patterson.
Brissett shotgun with Hunt on his left hip. Brissett looking up in the pocket. He's going to run, and then he fakes. He runs right. He's got the end zone, and he leaps in. Touchdown, Jacoby Brissett. And the Browns are back in it. It's 10-6.
First and goal at the five. Here's Huntley, left side. Touchdown, Atlanta.
Wow.
This drive belongs to the Duke. Pinion to hold, McCullough to snap. Snap, spot. Try from Koo is away, and it is good. Atlanta's in front with 2:28 to play. Third field goal of the day for Younghoe Koo.
This was a fun back-and-forth affair if you like rushing yards specifically. Wowzers. I didn't know how many teams in the NFL could actually rush for as many yards as the Browns. This is quite the time of possession battle. But Atlanta had over 200 yards rushing. Marcus Mariota only tried 19 passes, only connected on 7 of them. Nick Chubb nearly as many yards rushing as Mariota had passing. So between Nick Chubb and that Browns rushing attack and what the Falcons were doing with the ball, This was a real slugfest. And yet they go back and forth on Falcons and Browns radio with Wes Durham and Jim Donovan. So you have a Brissett fumble that leads to an Atlanta touchdown. You have a Mariota interception that gives Cleveland the go-ahead field goal late in the third quarter. Ultimately, Atlanta is up 23-20, but the Browns have the ball.
Third and 23. Brissett dropping again, throwing, and it is intercepted. D. Alford. Holy smokes. 55 seconds left, and D. Alford, one of the great stories on this Falcon roster, has a moment.
These guys put so much into these games and give you so much during the week, and you put a lot into it. So coming away with a loss is very, very disappointing and frustrating, and we just have to learn from it. But bottom line, you have to learn from it.
One day at a time. We're going home from here, so we're going to go back, watch the film, get a good week of preparation, and whoever we play next, and then take it one day at a time. The plan is 1 week at a time, and for us to look at the remainder of the schedule and say this, or that, and the third is just not who we are, and we won't do that. So we just got to go learn from this one and then get ready for next week.
Kevin Stefanski and Jacoby Brissett, not overly concerned. Now at 2-2, same record, though, as the Bengals. Same record as the Ravens. And though you think about the way each of those teams have lost their two games, and it's dramatically different. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now shifting our attention to the Falcons in the NFC South, they've got the same record as the Buccaneers. So how about that through the first month of the NFL season? And head coach Arthur Smith, Marcus Mariota, they knew it was all about racking up as many rushing yards as possible.
People know that we want to run the football, that's what fires you up. And it won't be that way every week. We're going to have a challenge. We know how competitive it is. But when you can run the ball and they know you're going to run it, that speaks volumes about your guys. Proud of those guys. We knew it was going to be a big boy fight, and the same number of run attempts, and I always thought the team that ran the ball better today was going to win, and that held true, thankfully.
We had opportunities to run the football, and we leaned on our guys up front. Our backfield was unbelievable. Young guys coming in and stepping up and making big plays, and you know what? That's what it takes.
Marcus Mariota, Arthur Smith, they will take it. They were together in Tennessee, now working together in Atlanta, and hey, 2-2 is 2-2, and they've got a modest two-game win streak. Remember, they started out 0-2, but now they are back to even and right there with the Buccaneers, who have done the opposite. They won their first two games, but have lost now their last two. We're going to finish out the NFC South following the break. The Carolina Panthers are one of our candidates for the most mortification on a Monday. Actually, this is very catty and very petty, but I saw some Browns media tweeting about how Baker Mayfield sucked again. Oh, okay. I see how you are.
Don't really care.
All right, so we'll get to Panthers-Cardinals. This is a game in which, okay, there were some interesting moments. There were some magnificent individual plays. But honestly, for a good portion of this game, I just want to hold my nose. It's like, okay, we just got to get through this. I don't know. If you have confidence in the Arizona Cardinals, you may be party of one, or at least alone on your island. Speaking of island, I barely survived for another week on Survivor Island, but I've made it out of the first month. We only had a handful of people left going into this week.
I've seen leagues already that have restarted because everyone's out.
Restarted?
Yeah.
We get to do that?
I don't know if our website would let us, but just amongst friends and stuff that are leagues that are run
like
off the
yours
and stuff like mine. But mine actually hasn't restarted yet. Like, there's three people left. But one of my friends had a league that has already, everyone's out. So they just, all right, like, we'll hop in week five.
I didn't even know you could do that.
They just started it over.
I wonder if they'll let us do that in the office pool.
They should if it's all done.
Wait, do we have to pay again, though?
You would, yeah.
Oh, no.
But there's no chance to win.
No, I want my money back.
I'll get this one.
Oh, okay.
I like our odds.
Anyway, I'm still alive to week four. Longest I've ever made it is week six. I've never been past week six.
Especially this year. That's quite the feat.
Yeah, well, picking the Green Bay Packers gave me some agita. However, it was a really entertaining game, so I couldn't be that personally invested. All right, we'll get to the Panthers, and then we'll get to the Saints as well to round out the NFC South. But right now, the name of the game in the NFL is parody. I actually can't stand that word. And it's not P-A-R-O-D-Y, you goofballs. How many people you can Google it. How many people send me tweets and Facebook posts about parody, and they use the wrong parody? P-A-R-O-D-Y is a type of play or a type of entertainment.
Like a spoof almost, right?
Yeah, the spoof is a great word for it. But it's something you would see on stage or on TV, like Saturday Night Live, for heaven's sakes. It's not P-A-R-O-D-Y.
It doesn't have to do with birds either. What? Parody.
Okay.
Like pirates.
I mean, it was good until you had to jump in with that.
I do that.
You did ruin it.
I do that.
I get that a lot.
I get that a lot.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Third and goal from just outside the 2-yard line. They motion Hollywood to the left side. Murray in the gun, waiting for the snap. Snap to Murray, drops back the pass, has time, fires left side, caught for a touchdown, Zach Ertz. And the Cardinals with a chance to tie the game with 7:42 left in the third. The Cardinals with an excellent drive that started deep in their own end.
Second and goal from the 5, again Brown, single coverage on the far side. 3 tight ends to the right, shotgun here for Murray. Takes the snap, turns, and he runs to the right side with Connor blocking. Murray is going to head to the end zone for 6. Touchdown, Kyler Murray. Much more involved in the run game today. It pays off there. The Cardinals have a 9-point lead with the extra point pending after the pick by Gardeck.
And the shotgun is Murray, flanked to his right by Williams. Snap to Murray, going to throw, and it's a fade right side for Brown in the end zone. Brown hauls it in, and it's a touchdown. What a catch by Hollywood.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jay and I were just talking about the number of games we still have to get to. So we're going to do the NFC East as a whole following the update. We're going to cram in the NFC South here, the rest of that, including Saints and Vikings in London. That's coming up. But because we haven't even gotten to the Cowboys, the Eagles, who are still undefeated, the Giants, who were without quarterbacks on Sunday. It's just a crazy day, right? We're trying to get to as much as we can. We realize that we're kind of lagging behind. So we'll see whether or not I can make it up to you in the next 90 minutes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Cardinals were on the road at Carolina, and it was a 23-6 second half for Arizona. So this was a game that actually featured way too many turnovers, of course. But what Arizona was able to do is capitalize on those turnovers and then turn around in the second half and become more of a buzzsaw, scoring on 4 straight drives. And get this, in the second half, you know, each half is 30 minutes of football. The Cardinals held the ball nearly 21 minutes in the second half. You want to talk about an absurd and completely unbalanced time of possession? It's hard to score when you don't have the football. Well, and it's really hard to score if your defense is the only one putting points on the board, though the Panthers did get a pick 6 in this game. Dave Pasch with the call on Cardinals radio. Christian McCaffrey, over 100 yards and a score. The Panthers waste that because Baker has 3 turnovers. And so the question was posed to Matt Rhule following the game. Did you consider benching Baker? I suppose PJ Walker would be the guy then.
Didn't think about that today. I was just, you know, kind of in the moment, like, hey, go to the next drive. I know it wasn't good enough, and I know that, you know, the numbers aren't what they need to be in a lot of different areas. I have to really, though, even as I said to the team, go back and really look and see, you know, hey, you know, why is this happening? Why are we not playing better than this? Because I know we have the personnel and offense to make plays, and it's just not coming together the way it needs to.
Just didn't make the plays when they were there. I mean, not a whole lot. Got to look at the tape, but we just didn't make the plays that they were there.
Yeah, his press conferences and his comments are becoming shorter and shorter now because this has been a really frustrating stretch. A month now in which the Panthers are 1-3 and the offense has only shown up in brief stretches here and there. And Christian McCaffrey does play and they waste a strong game from him. As for the Cardinals, the biggest story, even overshadowing the win, is that J.J. Watt played on Sunday, even though he went into AFib earlier in the week and had to get his heart shocked back into rhythm. Atrial fibrillation, which is about an irregular heartbeat. And so he said he had to get his heart shocked back into rhythm on Thursday. He announced it on Twitter on Sunday because he got a phone call telling him that the news was going to be leaked. And so he put it on Twitter before anybody else could get to it. Now, he looked happy. He looked lively. He looked energetic on Sunday, but he was emotional talking about this week.
I talked to cardiologists, electrophysiologists from all over the country. I was assured multiple times from multiple people that there's nothing else you could do. I mean, go back and play like normal. So it could happen again the next day. It could happen never again in 20 years. So I was assured multiple times. So I went back to practice Friday, practiced, and here we are. But, I mean, it's been tough, you know. It was just weird. Just weird. I have a baby on the way.
So he gets emotional, and I'm sure in that moment the tears are about a little bit of the fear and the unknown and not having any clue if this pops up again, because according to the Cleveland Clinic, as JJ pointed out, the next day, the same thing could happen, this irregular heartbeat, or it could not bother him again for 20 years. And it is out there on the football field. Wow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So the Panthers fall to 1-3, as I mentioned, and that puts us in the NFC South, where they do have company at the bottom of the division. So we mentioned Tampa Bay and Atlanta are 2-2. Well, a whole game behind them, Carolina and New Orleans. Now, the Vikings and the Saints put on a real show in London. This is actually a fun game to watch if you were up early on the West Coast. It would have been 6:30 a.m. kick time. But it was Andy Dalton at quarterback for the Saints. And in the second half, these two teams went back and forth. Unfortunately for the Vikings, at least through the bulk of that second half, they kept settling for field goals. And so New Orleans was able to take a lead on a Taysom Hill touchdown until finally the Vikings found their rhythm. So we don't have a ton of time, so I can't play all of the highlights for you. I would love to. But essentially, Greg Joseph hits a 47-yard field goal in the last minute and is able to give the Vikings the lead. But then Saints get into position and have their own shot.
Will Lutz, kind of an afterthought, comes in and nails a 60-yarder with a 61 here to try to win the game.
To tie it now. Snap. Kick is on the way. And it is hit the crossbar, came up short, and the Vikings are going to win it.
I thought he had it.
I thought he did too.
It's the upright, then the crossbar, and then falls into the end zone.
Obviously, a very, very hard-fought win. Really proud of our team for once again, really back-to-back weeks showing, you know, different types of resiliency to rely on one another. And obviously, there's a lot we could do better, a lot more consistent play, capitalizing on some opportunities offensively, and continuing to grow and progress and play as good as we can.
This was a show courtesy of Justin Jefferson as well. Remember the last couple of games, he'd been limited by the types of coverages he was getting. But for the fans in London, 10 catches, 147 yards, and you want confidence. Well, Jefferson's got it.
Second and third week got a little bit more double teams. And this week, you know, Lattimore pretty much followed me the whole game. We definitely feel confident in our guys to win those one-on-one battles. I definitely feel confident in my game to get open.
Well, he's got to because of how good he is. He's going to draw double teams. This is his life in the NFL now, and he's going to have to figure out a way to get open despite the fact that he'll have guys tracking him all over the field, and they'll be the best that the other team has to offer. Real quickly, Andy Dalton in the game actually plays the entire game and did pretty well when Jameis Winston was unable to go.
It's tough because you go back and look at this game and feel like you played really well. You go back and look at it and say, man, if I could just have one play back. But that's kind of the story of this thing. So it's tough, but I thought we definitely did some good things out there.
So Will Lutz misses a 60-yarder at the end, which of course is a crapshoot anyway. But he had already kicked one at that length earlier in the game. 28-25 as the Vikings move to 3-1, tied with the Packers atop the NFC North, and the Saints fall to 1-3. But as we pointed out, everybody's so smushed together that you're really not out of the fight, not at this point. With teams having a month under their belts, who is going to be consistent first? Man, we have seen the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. All right, so on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we're asking you to identify which team should be the most mortified on this Monday. It's a new poll that we actually found that you really enjoy, and we do too. There's always plenty of candidates. It's the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, and we could only pick four for the purposes of our poll, so we'll take your write-in votes as well. Coming up, we're going to run a mad blitz through the NFC East, and Cooper Rush is doing his absolute best.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
To create a quarterback controversy.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shotgun. Came well to the right of Hurts. Hurts back. Hurts looking. Hurts going to dash. He dives, and he is into the end zone. Now the ball comes loose, but he had already crossed the goal line. And it's a touchdown. Eagles trying to catch them right here. Hurts gives it off to Sanders. To the five. In for the touchdown goes Miles Sanders. 10 yards out. Hurts is calling for the snap. He's standing back at the 15. Hurts this time gives it to Gainwell. Up the middle. He's in for the touchdown.
Oh, straight ahead.
Gainwell with one sidestep at the five, and then a glide to the end zone. Hurts in the gun. Hurts this time gives it off again and running with it and scoring. Miles Sanders, his second touchdown of the game.
We found a way. We didn't flinch. We persevered. We were unwavering in how we played. Nothing was able to deny us, and I'm so proud of how this team played. We look at this game, and we see there's some bad in it. We see that there are some things that can definitely be fixed, but we also look at this, and we found out a lot about this football team, I think, just in terms of being able to persevere, being steadfast, and, you know, controlling what we could.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jalen Hurts actually throws an early pick six against the Jaguars, and Jacksonville raced out to a 14-0 lead in Doug Peterson's return to Philadelphia, where he helped to guide the Eagles to their first Super Bowl win. But this was a game in which Trevor Lawrence gradually unraveled. There were a bunch of sacks and fumbles. In fact, he had 5 total turnovers. And so the Eagles were able to grab the lead back in the second quarter, all rushing touchdowns, 3 of them. They lead at half and they never look back because the Jaguars were unable to take care of the football or find any rhythm in the second half. So the Eagles defense has 4 sacks and 5 takeaways. And get this. The team rushed for 210 yards. We had multiple teams go over 200 yards rushing on Sunday. It was pretty impressive. So Miles Sanders with 134 yards and a couple of touchdowns as the Eagles are now 4-0 after this comeback.
The best thing about being 4-0 is being able to be 5-0. So we're just going to go back to watch film for this from this game, see what we can get better at, and on to the next.
I got to play better. I mean, our defense gave us a chance to win at the end of the game. And I'm just pissed. I let those guys down and really just too many turnovers. Obviously, it starts with me. All of them were me today. So that's, you know, no one else to blame there. So let those guys down. It's disappointing. You know, I felt like we had a chance to win that game and we did. And, you know, so that's really frustrating.
As disappointing as it is for Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, and certainly 5 turnover stings, the Jags and Titans are 2-2 atop the AFC South. And it's clear that Doug Peterson has had a major impact. So what about that return to Philadelphia?
This is my normal routine, just seeing guys. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I've got a job to do and get the Jags ready to play. But it was good to see a lot of people. And, you know, when you spend as much time here as we did and, you know, do the things we did, it was good to see a lot of people. You know, obviously spent a lot of time in that stadium and you know, fans were great today, as expected. And you know, just unfortunate for us.
Philadelphia Eagles are the only perfect team or undefeated team still remaining in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Commanders on the road at the Dallas Cowboys. And can I just really say this very quickly? The black uniforms by the Washington Commanders or from the Washington Commanders confused me. I thought it was Iowa. That did not work for me. Just in case anyone's keeping score at home, black uniforms did not work for me. But you know what works for these Dallas Cowboys is having a backup quarterback named Cooper Rush.
Big third down. Snap to Rush. He's going to run out to his right with room. Somebody come help him. Throw it in the end zone for Dallas. Caught it. Touchdown, Cowboys. Second and 5. Coming right to left in the white jersey, silver helmets and pants. Rush under pressure. Throws deep. Skinny post. Walk in. CeeDee Lamb. He got clear and he walked the dog. 30 and a touchdown.
Welcome back Michael Gallup, by the way, who returned for a 9-yard touchdown. He actually had the ACL exactly 9 months ago, so he was back. And then CeeDee Lamb as well, a 30-yard strike from Cooper Rush. And the defense for the Cowboys does the rest. 2 sacks of Carson Wentz, 11 quarterback hits, 2 interceptions. And while we're at it, Washington racks up 11 penalties for 136 yards. But Cooper Rush is a nice compliment to that defense.
They're the reason we're winning. I mean, it's just plain and simple. Those guys, I mean, 10 points in the NFL, they had really good field position all day. And our defense just kept them out of the end zone, kept getting off the field. As an offense, knowing that they have your back like that, it's huge.
Try not to think the sky's falling or the world's ending or anything crazy. Like, what did we do well? How do we build on those? And we got to clean up the small mistakes, the details that in a game like this, they come back to bite you pretty quick.
So the Dallas Cowboys have won 3 in a row after losing their opener, and they're nipping on the heels of the Eagles, What about the Giants, who started out 2-0, lost last week? They were hosting the Chicago Bears, and early on, Daniel Jones looked tremendous. A pair of rushing touchdowns in the first half, one of them coming after a Justin Fields fumble, and New York is actually up at the break. They've got a spry Saquon Barkley. Oh, man alive. There was one move in which he strong-armed and, well, the strong legs, away from a tackle and was able to keep his balance, keep his feet, and get into the end zone. So when he's healthy and playing well, the Giants are a different team. Think Panthers and Christian McCaffrey, just the impact that he can have on a game. And the Chicago offense is brutal in the second half. I mean, brutal. A field goal only, four punts, a muffed punt, just totally a disaster with Justin Fields. But at least they had a quarterback. Jones gets pulled for an ankle injury on a sack late in the third quarter. Minutes later, Tyrod Taylor goes out with a concussion on a fourth down scramble. And now you've got Saquon Barkley in the Wildcat with Jones running the plays onto the field. And then a lot of the times lining up at receiver, which was really kind of crazy. It was actually fun to watch, I guess, because the Giants still preserved the win. It would have been awful if they had ended up losing that game and Saquon's the one who's trying to take these direct snaps. I guess he is the backup quarterback in dire situations.
Something that we practice, obviously not to that extreme, but O-line did a great job blocking some of the stuff up. We got some pretty good running backs that can come and make plays, and Breida and Gary did a great job there too, and you know, at the end of the day, we were able to win.
Saquon had 31 carries for 146 yards. That does include the Wildcats. Meanwhile, Brian Daboll's Giants are now 3-1 themselves.
Give all the credit to the players. I think the assistant coaches and coordinators are doing a good job of putting them in position, and those guys are playing hard for 60 minutes. So I'd say give the players first and foremost all the credit, and give the assistant coaches and coordinators the second part of it.
Is there another quarterback on the roster? I'm assuming practice squad, something, anything. It sounds like Daniel Jones, according to Daniel. Now, who knows whether or not he'll be able to go next week, but it sounds like it was just sore, and that Daboll really just didn't want him to go back on the field because he was worried about it getting worse. But Tyrod Taylor's now in concussion protocol. Davis Webb is the next option. It's a quick look up by Producer Jay, which is kind of funny since Producer Jay is a diehard Giants fan and still had to look it up himself.
I knew it. I just had to confirm because he's on the practice squad. So I was like, is he still there? I think he is.
Oh, I think he's there. Well, I don't know. Would you rather have Saquon and a Wildcat and Daniel Jones lined up as a wide receiver?
Maybe, honestly.
1 hour to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.